Listen up, Australia. He's not here. He's off enjoying a beer and a very long lunch. So we've got some best bits for you. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Happy Thursday. Just a few more days and Mickey's back live again. Brand new show's coming Monday of Malloy. It's the Rostered Week Off. You've got Dangerous Dave here, thanks to Crown Forklifts. Nothing like a crown for picking it up and putting it down. Noel Gallagher, my chat with Noel. Ahead of the release of the High Flying Birds Best Of record with a couple of new songs as well. That's coming up in the second hour. I'm going to check that out. Lots of fun. One of our favourite segments we do on this show is bad parenting. And there's no short of calls when it comes to the topic of bad parenting. We're all guilty of it. You can share your tales coming up soon as well. And what have you stolen from work? I've never stolen a thing. Your calls after this. Let's get into it. It's a Thursday, Malloy. Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. It is the Rostered Week Off with Noel Gallagher next hour. Now, the discussion came up, what have you stolen from work?
I abhor crime in any form.
You sure do.
When I heard this story, I was furious. 42,000 pounds of missing pistachios has led to a possible illegal pistachio operation. According to the statement, the Touchstone Pistachio Company notes that 42,000 pounds... of pistachios had gone missing during a routine audit.
Oof.
Think it might be a truck driver. Have a listen to the story.
On Friday, detectives learned that a tractor trailer with the pistachios had been moved from the Monte Mayor trucking lot in Delano. Detectives say the pistachios were being moved into smaller bags for resale.
Pistachios? Who would have thought?
Just thinking of that scene from Scarface at the end, but instead of a big pile of cocaine, it's just a big pile of pistachios. Him sitting there?
Yeah.
I bet you need pistachios.
By the way, the pistachio, great nut, but it's a lot of work. It's quite labour intensive.
It's interesting you mentioned that, Jay. Can you come in here, please? Because you were seen with some pistachios.
I had some today. We were talking about it in the office.
Today,
I'm going to go down and get some pistachios.
You had some, and then you ran into Dan. And what was the conversation?
Dan Bradley, apparently. Oh. Dave, the pistachios you put through his almonds in order to save approximately
$3. No!
I beg your pardon. What?
By the way, I abhor crime.
No, yeah. I accidentally put in the almonds number into the scales, which was $24 a kilo, I got the $22 kilo.
And you've done it the same accident 20 days in a row.
It was 80 grams of pistachio, so had I lifted a bit, it would have been 15 cents worth.
15
so
cents.
I'm the Coles company and West Farmers share.
Oh, mate, you're going to be sued.
It was an accident.
You'll go to jail.
I only realised it when I looked at my packet. Oh, no, I put it through as almonds.
Dave. Do you know what? That would work with most people, but you've got four.
If you get a,
anybody steals chocolates from you know,
there was an agreement between me and Abby. So
if you get a knock on the door tonight, it's your home. Run, go out the back door.
He won't be leaving.
It's Victoria's
his home.
Finest coming to say hello.
This is ankle bracelet. This is.
It was an honest mistake at the scales of the nut department.
Tomorrow you can buy almonds and put them through at the pistachio price.
That's what I'll do next time. Yeah, I'll make it up. What?
I'm appalled on
it's
so
an
many levels.
Innocent mistake.
It doesn't surprise me because we know what you do.
I'll go downstairs and give them 15 cents if that's what you want me to do. If you want me to,
I'd like to see that.
Get the company
is that
head
the
on.
The difference, is it?
It was 80 grams pistachios.
Still down.
All right.
You're not in the dock. Yet.
Feels like. Anyway.
Hey, yeah.
Great nut, by the way, that pistachio.
Well, you was just about to say it was terrible.
Labour intensive, but really good when you get to it.
42,000 pounds.
Which is 19,000 kilograms, by the way.
That is a lot of pistachio.
That's huge.
What would that be worth at almond prices?
A lot of money at $24 a kilo.
Hey, what have you stolen from work?
Up next, we'll take your calls on what have you stolen from work. It's Malloy, the Rostered Week Off on Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. It's the Rostered Week Off. Bad parenting. Well, I've been guilty of it. Maybe you have too. We'll take your calls on that in just a moment. We're talking about what have you stolen from work right now.
42,000 pounds of missing pistachios went missing, traced back to a truck driver who was kind of skiving them off to the side. That's a big haul.
My
in
word.
Pistachio terms. Got us thinking. Well, what have you stolen from work? Blake's on the line.
In my younger years when I was first working at KFC, went on break and just grabbed a twister on the way out of like the Bay Marie.
Sure. Yeah.
Came back in a couple of minutes later and just heard the manager absolutely going off her head. And I just quietly snuck away into the back corner.
With your twister?
With your twister.
Yeah, just ate the twister in the break room, tried not to get in trouble.
I would have thought that would come with the territory, that you can help yourself to anything that's out there. Do you know, CUB, the greatest brewer in the world,
of course,
in the old days, you could have a six-pack at work.
Is that right?
Yeah, you have two at once. You get a six pack of beer.
Oh, that's pretty
good. They're making it.
You want to make sure.
Because there's lots of it there.
Quality control.
Now, ergo, I would have thought KFC can spare a friggin' twister.
I think you're right too. Or a couple of nuggets at least.
Yeah, no corn. Not corn or right potato and gravy.
What about a moist towelette? Could you take one of those with you or not?
Yeah, you can push me, pull you. The old moist towelette. David's on the line. David, what did you skive off with from work?
I used to work at a milk bar and the lady didn't pay me regularly. So I thought I would take some nudie mags.
The old nudie mags. The ones up the back in plastic.
Yeah.
That's the one. You know, the ones with the seal on them.
Penthouse.
People in picture. Magazine, picture magazine, which had loaded with the good stuff. Funny Dunny, celebrity skid marks.
Only read for the articles, of course.
No, naturally.
Well, it's perfect if you're on the toot. I see that as a victimless
crime. Well, if you're not getting paid, I mean, sure, you go crazy with your mags.
As long as you're not using them for nefarious things and then putting them back in the rack. David.
No.
Good on you, David. Dwayne's on the line. Dwayne, it wasn't you. Your wife stole something. What was it?
Yeah, I went to pick my wife up from work one day and she walked out with a roast chook.
Oof.
And she said, all right, I'll go pay for this. And we walked around the shop for a bit, couple of seconds, and then we walked on out and forgot all about it. And she got called into the office the next day, got accused of stealing a chook, and I got the blame for it.
Chook gate.
Oh, you took the fall.
So how did they find out? Was she on video or camera? Were they watching
cameras?
Oh, man, really?
I remember you tried to pay for it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I had no idea. I just assumed she'd already paid for it.
Was it a good chook?
No, it wasn't very. It was a bit dry.
So what were the ramifications?
She got Dr. Chook.
Out of her pay.
She got Dr. Chook.
Out of her pay. It was a bit rough.
It's a bit rough. Brad's on the line. Brad?
Quite regularly. It wasn't just the other day. It was probably last night, actually. I keep my first aid kit very well stocked, and I get the odd bottle of antibiotics and Panadol and eardrops for my dog, anything I need, bandages, disinfectant. And the government looks after the hospital and the hospital looks after me.
Hang on, you've been stealing from the first aid
Sounds like
kit.
Yeah, the dispensary, as I'm packing it away, anything that doesn't fit in there fits into my first aid kit.
Sounds like you might be on something that you've removed from the hospital right now.
I've got a very good first aid kit.
Oh my God, Brad.
Okay, Brad. Now, Brad, I just hope there's not a nasty accident at work. And they go, quick, get the first aid kit.
Yep.
And they open it up. And, oh, damn Brad.
Get Brad.
Get quick. Brad in. Thanks, Brad. Hey, Jared's on the line. Jared, what did you steal from work?
Yeah, I stole a 30-kilo anvil once from work.
How'd you get it out? Did you carry that out?
I tried to carry it and I ended up getting sick of that and put it in a wheelbarrow and carted it out to the...
Did you steal the wheelbarrow too?
I left the wheelbarrow there.
Why would you choose a 30-kilogram anvil? Yeah. Out of anything you can take from a shop floor, why that?
Expensive and it was in the way.
So you're kind of clearing out your area to get your anvil. I see. You're making space.
And do you use it?
Yeah.
Do you use it?
As a paperweight.
30-kilo paperweight.
Jared, you're an idiot. Emma's on the line. Emma?
I stole my work uniform.
Which is what?
So I used to be an airline hostess many years ago. Mm. I worked in the Middle East, and they specifically said when we leave the company, we're not to take our uniform, and I took mine. I put it in my suitcase and went back to Australia with it.
Wow. You know, there's probably severe punishments for that.
Yeah. That part of Middle East.
From that part of the world.
Yeah. Right,
do you wear it now, though? Do you kind of put it on?
I do. I put it on for my husband sometimes.
Oxygen masks are about to drop from the ceiling. It's your lucky night, big fella.
Hey, Emma, a case of Brick Lane Draft on its way for you in Yippoon. Appreciate you calling through,
sir. Send me a picture of you in your uniform, please.
Come on.
Triple M, it's Malloy, the rostered week off. Time for some bad parenting.
Mom! What kind of mother am I?
I'm up for filing you.
I'm afraid I'll be forced to call social services.
You know, when I was little, I used to pretend you weren't my mother.
Me too.
Time now for another entry into the Journal of Bad Parenting.
We love this segment introduced to us originally by the great Jane Kennedy,
indeed,
who has her moments.
Yeah.
On the whole, good.
Right.
We got into this and we refused to let it go. Every time a good story pops across our desk, here's one, I think falls into the category of bad parenting. Two Utah girls, aged 9 and 4, have stolen their parents' car to swim with the dolphins in California.
Oh, adorable.
I mean, I like a bit of up and go.
Sure.
A bit of initiative.
9 and 4, did you say?
Two young girls in Utah stole their parents' car so they could drive to California to go to the beach and swim with the dolphins. The girls, sisters aged 9 and 4, sideswiped a car, then collided with a semi-truck.
Oh, my God.
Nobody was harmed during their joyride. Both children were wearing seatbelts.
Sensible. Oh,
that's the main thing.
Yeah, yeah,
as long
right.
as you're wearing seatbelts, yeah. go for your life, girls. Off you go. Yeah. Now, they're doing well, by the way, to get the car out of the garage.
Yeah, I wonder if
and keep going.
Was. That's well done. What, three on the tree?
I
or,
believe when they got
four?
To the beach, they did run over a dolphin.
Oh, flip, I had to be euthanized. It's a terrible end of that
but,
story.
But, you know, at least the... What's that, Flip? Hit by a car. But they've been hit by a car. And look, at least they've done it because they want to swim with the dolphins,
that's
which
right.
is such a lovely
Their intent
thing.
Was good. Yeah, that's right.
See, that's typical of a young girl. Dad, yeah. can I have a pony? Can yeah. I go swim with the dolphins?
Sure.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to hotwire your car if you say no.
Good parenting.
No, I like it. I like it a lot. I'd like to hang out with these girls. Yeah. I'd like to follow their progress
yes.
and see what happens to them over the journey. They're going to be a handful in a very good way. I wonder, a girl celebrated her birthday. You know, kids get a, you go to a cake
Themed
maker
cakes.
And say, my boys love Minions. Can you do some
yeah, yeah.
some Minions?
Yeah, I've seen know, them in the shops. Ferguson Player, where I get my sausage rolls and pies from, they do magnificent cakes with different
yeah,
designs.
Yeah, so this girl loves the Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
So she's gone with a very specific instruction. It's a three-year-old who wants a cake done.
Yeah.
Leona Fay loves The Lion King and asked for a birthday cake to feature a very specific scene from the movie with her favourite character, Mufasa.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I can see it right now.
Yeah.
It's iconic.
It is. I felt really embarrassed asking, said her mum, because I thought they would think that I was a horrible parent.
Right.
Leona wanted the moment where the lion dies.
Oh.
Mufasa's death. And she was insistent that they depict the death of Mufasa.
No, I'm looking at the photos now. It's a dead lion next to the cake.
Well, that's what they had to do. They had to do a cake with a dead lion on it.
No, you want the lion getting held up.
No, mate, no. No, not Leona.
No, you want the death.
She would like the lion dead
Mufasa.
Or I'm not cutting the cake.
Okay, Leona's got some problems with
it. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? Anyway, make a wish. Yeah, I wish.
Dead lion.
I wish my daughter liked a better scene. And they've got pictures of it, and they've got the cake, and there is a
sad lion. But it's a really lion. Sad eyes and face on it, too.
Wow.
Like, I've been wounded. Look how sad that is. Look, oh,
that's a dead lion.
Well, yeah, it is, isn't it? It's flat.
Right. That's the bit you'd want. Ooh, can I take Mum, can I have a bit of the dead lion?
Dig in, kids.
Have you got any examples of bad parenting there, Dave?
I can tell you one that I did today as a parent myself. So we had some toast for lunch, butter on top. As I was putting the Vegemite on the toast, I heat the knife above the toaster just to get it warm. So then when I put it in the butter, it's sort of nice and ready to go.
Yes,
and
Dave.
My wife came out and said, what the hell are you doing showing the kids? It's apparently like metal knives near toasters is a no-go. For showing kids.
Dave.
So,
Dave.
Bad parent. Just so you know, don't do that. What if I dropped it?
You are an idiot. A rolled gold idiot.
Anyway.
That's what we're after.
More of your calls to come up next with bad parenting. Stay here. Malloy, the rostered week off. Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. It is the rostered week off. We've been taking your calls, and we're all guilty of it, me included. Bad parenting.
It's in honour today of the two girls, 9 and 4, in America, who drove their parents' car across the United States so they could swim with the dolphins.
Yeah, adorable.
Good on them.
Yeah.
Bad on the parents. But our board is full of calls illustrating examples of bad parenting. Michelle, you've got an example for us?
I certainly have. So it was my daughter's 18th, all sorted out good. I took all the keys off all the young'uns so they weren't driving.
Good on you.
Well done.
That is good parenting.
It is.
Yeah, it was. So my daughter had like a girl's version of a yard glass, so one of those huge wine glasses, and of course mixed with a concoction of vodka and you name it. So we got to doing the birthday cake. All the candles are on there. Being a teenage girl, she had the hair extensions in.
Right.
Anyway, she leant down to blow out the candles, and the hair caught on fire.
Oh, no.
Right.
And I'm holding this yard glass. So instinct took over and I threw it at her. But it was full of straight alcohol.
Oh, geez. Flammable. Like throwing petrol at her.
and it was so lucky her boyfriend at the time was standing next to her and he just grabbed her head and smothered it.
Michelle! The extensions.
Oh, they
happy, happy
gone.
18th. Make a wish. I wish my head would go out. You are terrible, Michelle.
Their
extensions are on fire. I've got this. I'll throw straight alcohol at her.
Yeah. Well, I'd had a few myself, you know. What's the
Michelle.
Jesus. The extensions shriveled up.
That's the last we ever saw of those.
Appreciate you.
Good on you, Michelle.
Awesome story.
Gab, bad parenting, was it you?
Oh, Mick, it was me, I'm ashamed to say. My daughter was 5 and we were doing the what would you like for breakfast before you go to school, and you used to be able to get a cinnamon sugar mix that she loved on toast, so I made it for her, you know,
good
doing
on
a good
you.
Thing. Thanks, Mick. She's sitting there reading it, and I just said, eat your breakfast, what are you doing? You've got to get to school, I've got to get to work, you know, that frantic morning stuff that you go through with kids. She just looked at me, she said, I can't eat it. I'm like, eat your breakfast, you're not going to school without breakfast.
She asked for it.
Most important meal of the day, exactly. You got what you wanted, what's going on? I can't eat it, I can't eat it. She starts crying and I'm looking at her, I said, just eat your breakfast. I can't eat it, Mummy, you eat it, it's disgusting. I said, give it to me, it can't be that bad. And I took a bite out of it. It was foul. I put Chinese 5 spices on it instead.
Oh, 5 spices. The kids love that. Yes.
Oh, mate, they love it. And, you know, 27 years later, she doesn't let me live it down. I can tell you right now.
We still talk about the incident.
Yeah.
The breakfast.
Yeah.
5 spices.
Incident. Good on you, Gab. Thanks for the call. Neil's on the line. Neil. Neil, bad parenting. Yeah. What have you done?
I was watching adult movies when I was about 30 or so in the house, and I thought I was by myself, and the daughter walked, my little girl walked in the room.
Yeah.
I think it was 7, I didn't know how to, she had to turn it off on me.
Oh, Neil.
Didn't know how to turn it off.
What, you couldn't turn it off, or are you?
No, I didn't know how to, no, you're not computerized in what I was doing.
Didn't know how to shut it down.
No, do you ever talk about that moment?
No, this the first time I brought it up when you talked about it now.
All right, Neil, you put your daughter on. I'd like to hear her version of events.
I am here.
Oh my God.
Plot twist.
What's your name?
Christy.
Oh, Christy, I'm sorry you had to go
that's
through
okay.
that
thing.
I'm 27 now, and he's not going to live it down ever.
Nah.
Well, hopefully that stage of his life is behind him now.
Yeah, he goes, oh, I can't turn it off. Can you help me turn it off? And I had to, like, look the other way and, like, try to feel for the mouse and, like, try to click it
off. Oh, God. Oh, no.
It was so bad.
Neil, you...
This is
the
worst.
Do you know what? That type of stuff can bring you closer together, I suppose. Out there, back.
Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. It's the Rostered Week Off. Could your dog be taken by a hawk? We asked the question with Gone Wild coming up in the second hour. And a chat with Noel Gallagher of the High Flying Birds and a little band from the 90s called Oasis. It's coming up soon. Don't go anywhere. The big second hour of Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Thanks to Crown Forklifts, there's nothing like a crown for picking it up and putting it down. It's Malloy.
Time to gather back around your wireless, people. Here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
Nice to talk to you on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in to Malloy. Mick Malloy is back on Monday to drive you home live with brand new shows here of Malloy. Coming up this hour, though, Gone Wild. Yes, it's a Thursday tradition where we look at what's happening in the animal world. And could your dog be taken by a hawk? Need to know the breed of your dog? Mick will let you know whether yes or no. That's coming up a little later. But up next, though, he's the front man of Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds and also played with Oasis. Yes, Noel Gallagher to join us right after this. Thanks to Crown Forklifts for picking it up and putting it down. Nothing like a Crown Forklift. Malloy, Rostered Week Off. Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. It is the Rostered Week Off. Gone Wild coming up soon. Tomorrow on the show, Jim Jefferies and Dave Faulkner from the Hoodoo Gurus is going to play for us. But right now, here's a chat with Noel Gallagher.
Now, how did this come across our desk, Dave?
This came across our desk through Whitney, our producer here. She said, look, there's a chance for us to have a chat with Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that's amazing. Sure, man, you know, he's the guy that wrote Wonderwall. Yes, please.
That's right. And no one told me.
I think you were in the conversation, but probably as usual, you weren't paying attention. So it might have sort of drifted past.
So you took the opportunity to catch up one-on-one with Noel Gallagher
of Oasis.
And the High Flying Birds. So the reason for the chat is because the High Flying Birds, which is his new band, 10 years of High Flying Birds, they've got a best of album out, which is called Back the Way We Came, Volume 1 ad, and a couple of new songs on it as well. The chat, the instructions we were given is talk to Noel about the High Flying Birds and the best of album.
And that will be great. And it's great news for fans.
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
However, also the most anticipated reunion I can think of in the world, if you had to name one, would be Oasis.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
Well, I look forward to hearing what he has to say on the matter. This is two parts. We're playing the first part of your chat with Noel.
Here he is.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Very well, thank you, mate. Where are you? In a recording studio somewhere?
I'm in my recording studio in London.
Oh, very nice, mate. Is that sort of home away from home during lockdown?
Yes, indeed it is. Yeah? It's a little haven. My wife thinks I've been making a record for a year, but I've actually been just eating crisps and listening to the radio.
Start asking about. Do you have any like pinball or any toys in there, or is it just?
No. It's a place of work. But it's nice to get away from the grind sometimes.
Yeah, I bet, mate. How has lockdown been for you, by the way? I mean, this is your home away from home. Has this been where you've been during lockdown?
Well, on a professional level and on a creative level, it's been great. I've written more songs than I would normally do, and I've finished off more songs, two of which are on the best of. But on a personal level, it's not been great at all. I've not enjoyed it. The novelty wore off after about 6 weeks, and my family struggled a little bit, same as everybody. You know, you don't realize how much you miss everyday life until everyday life doesn't exist anymore, and then you kind of rummaging around for things to do. Now, luckily, if you're creative, you can never get bored, because your imagination is where you live most of the day anyway. But my kids suffered a bit. My wife suffered a bit. Yeah. So it wasn't great.
Homeschooling, it was like everybody else. The kids were home on the laptops.
On a laptop, in their underpants, eating toast at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, learning absolutely nothing.
Right. Were you doing any instructions as well? Were you giving any advice as a parent?
No. I went to school 40 years ago. Yeah. I'm not going back to school now for you, so you don't know me.
Are they good at any particular subjects? Is there something they've got strengths in, like, you know, arts, or is it music, or is it, you know, writing, maths?
My eldest son is very good doodling art. He's got the artistic gene. My little fella, he's a bulldozer. He's into football. He wants to be a zoologist.
Ah, right.
And I was like, you might want to set your sights a little bit lower there, mate.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Hey, 10 years ago, at the end of Oasis, you went back into the studio, or did you have one of those, you know, what the hell have I done moments? That band's finished. What do I do now? You start the High Flying Birds. 10 years ago, what was on your mind then?
That question, I never asked myself that question, like, what am I going to do now? Because I always have enough music to be getting on with. 12 years ago would be when we broke up. So for that 2 years, I did nothing. I just kind of went on holiday and had a bit of time off. Mm. And then I'd already written what was going to be the next Oasis album. I'd written all my parts in it anyway. Yeah. I just booked a studio and took it one song at a time. And then eventually I finished an album, and then I put a band together, and then just took it step by step, really. I didn't have any great expectations for it. I wasn't feeling nervous or anything. I'd obviously never done it before, so I was a bit intrigued as to how it was going to go. Kind of reminded me of the early days of Oasis, where you didn't really know what was going to happen, and you kind of thought you were great, but you didn't know if anybody else was going to think you were great. It was just interesting to see what it was that was out there for me. I've enjoyed every single moment of it, I have to say.
Going into the start of Oasis, you mentioned sort of being naive and that. Is that... That'd be a blessing in a way, though, not knowing what's coming and with a lot of freedom, I'd imagine.
Well, I try and explain to people regularly that you're very, very lucky to have got to my age in Oasis, which I think was 43. Usually your life is mapped out for you by then. You know what you're going to do until the day you die.
Yeah.
When you're in a big band like that. I thought it was a gift that I could start a new career in my mid-40s and start something new and meet new people and just go on a new journey. So I looked at it like that. I didn't look at it. I wasn't scared at all. If High Flying Birds would have bombed, I would have become a professional songwriter and wrote songs for other people. But it's been a gift. It's been an absolute gift to have two careers.
And the second part of your career with the High Flying Birds, you must be thrilled with, because you know, the albums you put out have been unreal.
Well, because in Oasis you were writing for a band that was in fact a brand and had a very strong identity. And actually, looking back with hindsight, it was a very narrow set of rules that by was stadium rock, and that was it. So everything that you wrote had to be run past a few people. Now, I just do whatever I feel like doing and be damned with the consequences. Yeah.
All right, Noel Gallagher, that's part one of the chat. And,
very good.
Okay.
You've set the table. So far. You've laid the groundwork. You've already got us onto Oasis.
Yes, all right.
Here it comes.
More Noel Gallagher to come up. Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. We are live on the Listener app around Australia as well. You can get all the chats we've had on the show with the big name stars, including this one with Noel Gallagher. So you mentioned you've been writing a lot. So is a new album in the works? Is this what's going to come after this anniversary album?
Yeah, this year will be kind of all about this best of. And then next year, I'm halfway through writing a new record. And I think next year I'll start recording properly. And then that'll take about a year. And then 2023, get hopefully the live music scene will have come up with a new format so we can all get back to some kind of sense of taking a show on the road for the people. I think the people will need it eventually, because to go this long without live music is crazy.
It is.
Definitely just keeping on doing the same thing. And then obviously we've had to slow down a bit, but I'm halfway through a record and it's sounding pretty good.
Awesome. And I suppose also, just getting back to the live music thing, the music community has been hit pretty bloody hard worldwide, you know, with this lockdown. And that's not just the singer and the songwriters and the bands. It's the road crew. It's the promoters. It's everybody. So it's been a real kick in the guts for this industry last 12 months.
Yeah. I mean, on top of all that, we've got Brexit to deal with here. So we're not even sure how we're going to tour Europe.
Wow.
Yeah. So we would just ordinarily just get on a bus and go. Now you have to apply to every single country for a visa for every single member, and you have to declare every single piece of equipment that you're bringing to every country. So that in itself is a total nightmare.
Yeah.
On top of that, you've got COVID rules and all that. So it's going to take a long time to sort out. So I'll probably take a step back until 2023 and let everybody else lose a load of money. And then I'll just kind of swan in at the end say, you should have known this way.
Well, you could always come to Australia, Noel, and quarantine here for a couple of weeks in a dodgy motel in the city, and then you're free to do what you want to do. But that's the price you're going to pay.
I've always loved going to Australia. I could think of worse places to quarantine, I have to say.
Yeah, oh, mate, we love having you here. I've seen you a couple of times performing with the High Flying Birds at the Palais Theatre here in St Kilda, and with U2, you supported, which I think you had a bigger crowd watching you as a support act for U2 than the actual band. So there's a real appetite for your band.
Yeah. It's a testament to the power of the songs, really.
Yeah.
I did something really special in my time in Oasis, and people like what I do, and which is why I'll keep on doing it. You know, like most things with day-to-day life these days, you can't look too far into the future now, because you really don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 years. So, I can't wait to get back out. And in a couple of years, I'll be itching. Because, you know, you want to play new songs to the people and all that. So, you know, it'll happen in its own time, and it'll be great when it happens.
We're about to play the new song. It's called We're On Our Way Now, which is from the 10th anniversary album, Back the Way We Came, Volume 1. Tell us a bit about this song, Noel. What's the story behind We're On Our Way Now, which sounds brilliant, by the way. Our audience is going to love this.
Well, it was half a song that I had left over from, I think it was in between the first and second albums, and I never really got round to finishing it. And of course, with lockdown, I started to look back over all unfinished songs, and I found four that I thought were really good. They're the four I recorded for the best of, and two came out really good, which is two that people will hear on it. I said when I was doing the best of that I'd only put new tracks on it if they were as good as all the other stuff on it.
Yeah.
Because usually new tracks are just cobbled together just to sell it. I have to say the two that are on there are probably two of the best tracks on it. So I'm very pleased, very pleased.
It's fantastic. It's the 10th anniversary album, a bunch of great songs, two new songs as Noel just mentioned. Mate, thank you so much for having a chat to us, and stay safe and keep doing
what
you're
doing.
Always,
mate, you too.
Let's hear the song. We're on our way now. That's Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. You're listening to Malloy here on Triple M.
Ticking every box. That's going to get a run at home.
I like that.
All the doors, all the windows opened.
Fantastic.
Walking around the house from underpants.
Flying on the Ground is the other song, which we heard, by the way, which is coming out a little later as well.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to part three of your interview.
No, that's
with Noel Gallagher.
That's all done now. I'm finished.
What do you mean?
Well, that was that before the song.
It was a very good interview so far. I've been really enjoying it.
Yeah, and that's it.
You've done so much, and it's
only got
insightful.
10 minutes with Noel.
So have we got the we go to no, part three?
What are you talking about? That was the it. Bit That's
where
the
you
whole
asked
chat.
Him, is Oasis going to reform?
Why would I ask that question when
because it's the one everyone wants to
did
know,
did you hear what
Dave?
He had to say, though? He's going, I could not, I've been the most happiest I've been with the High-Flying Birds. So there's your answer.
But no. Just before we go, when are Oasis reforming?
They're not. I don't think he has any plans whatsoever to hook up with Liam.
No, he wouldn't have answered it. We know that. Did you sit at the end of his bed like you did?
I didn't. Did no. With... He was in with John Bon Jovi.
He
yeah.
is a smart guy. He's a good writer. He obviously loves his music and he's looking forward. I'm going to go get that. That
it's
sounds...
a really good record. Yeah, and, mate, all those High-Flying Birds, so 10 years it's been out, and the first album was fantastic with songs like, you know, If I Had a Gun and What a Life, but I really like that one. We're on our way
it's
now.
Good.
So.
All right.
It's Malloy, the Rostered Week Off on Triple. This is Malloy on Triple M. It's the Rostered Week Off. Time for Gone Wild.
Gone Wild.
With some disturbing news about a dogs getting swooped by hawks.
Well, smaller dogs are now wearing neon body armour with spikes to stop themselves being kidnapped by hawks, birds of prey, picked up in the talons and whooshka.
Taken away forever.
Waiter, check please. You're done.
You don't want to know what happens to the dog after that.
Oh, you know, it's a
bit grisly.
It's a grisly end. It's nature.
Right.
It's the animal kingdom.
Yeah, okay.
Take no prisoners.
Right.
Win or lose. Eat or be eaten, I think is the fair.
That's how it rolls.
Anyway, we're talking to you today. We're trying to decide where's the line, what kind of dogs are vulnerable to attack from above.
Yeah.
We worked out the Chihuahua was, the Pug was.
Yeah.
The sausage dog, jury's out. Yeah. I say the chassis too low.
Right. What about the Red Setter? Where does that sort of sit with things?
Whatever happened to the Red Setter?
I don't know.
There used to be loads of Red Setters.
All the time I'd see a Red Setter. Not anymore.
Is it the dumbest dog ever? It wouldn't even know it had been picked up. Whoa! Everyone looks small.
Wasn't the Dalmatian voted the dumbest?
No,
and apologies if you've got a Dalmatian.
I'll tell you, the Afghan.
The Afghan is cool
seriously
looking.
The dumbest
nah,
dog.
No, they're good looking,
ever.
Though. I love an Afghan.
If you're a dog, you'd be like a kind of cross-breed red setter.
If I was, how dare you?
How dare you? We're trying to work out with a Labrador. Would you get a Labrador?
Not a chance. Too heavy.
Yeah, especially an older one.
Oh, yeah,
maybe
that's right.
A younger one, yeah, but the older one, forget it.
Nah, not a chance.
Mate, a front-end loader would have trouble picking up.
Correct. What about Marty, my dog? He's like a moodle. He's like
a moodle.
It's a Maltese poodle.
No, he cooked.
No good. Okay, I'll remember.
See you, Marty. Wave right. Goodbye as he disappears over the horizon. Oh. Dan's on the line. Dan, what kind of dog have you got?
Yeah, Border Collie, four-year-old.
Border Collie, how big?
Weighs about 20 kilos. He looks bigger than that, but there's a lot of fluff.
There's a lot of fluff.
Is that Lassie?
Do you know what it could be? It could be a two-hawk job. that's Lassie. Have you got kids, Dan?
Yeah, three.
Okay, don't bother trying to show them Lassie. They will turn their nose up. Tried it with my boys the other day. Oh, Dad. When does it end? Well, it's just Lassie goes home. It's Lassie's
why are you showing
Lassie
the
come
boys?
Home? He goes, well, when does he get there, Dad? Yeah.
That's bad parenting. You shouldn't be showing the boys
By the way,
Lassie.
Dan, the Border Collie is one of the smartest dogs on the block, isn't it?
They are, but it's not the same as Lassie. Border Collies are the black and white.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, if you ever
Lassie's just a collie.
If you ever correct me on this program again,
no, I like it, Dan.
Dan, good on you. Danny's on the line. Danny, what type of dog do you have?
Yeah, I've got a Jack Russell, mate.
What's his name?
His name's Jaffa.
Oh, I love Jack Russells. They're it's good. A big dog in a little dog's body, basically.
Correct.
And you want to know if he could be taken away? Gee, I don't know. I would have thought the Jack Russell would put up too much of a fight.
It would.
It'll go bonkers.
Yeah.
Well, he's been attacked twice by owls and he killed them both.
Okay.
I thought the owls would wise up. They're supposed to be smart. Well done, Danny. Nick, you know you've got a Jack Russell, do you?
Nah, I had a friend with a Jack Russell, Mickey.
Was there an incident?
There was with a wedge-tail eagle, mate. But
did it get taken?
It did. It got picked up.
Oh, my God.
But luckily, it had a leather jacket on, like a little dog coat.
A little Fonzie.
And it actually managed to squirm free. And when it got back to the ground, it ran back to my friend. She saw it all happen, and there were like tears in the leather jacket.
Wow. So it's managed to wriggle out of the jacket like a little Houdini.
But it was a wedge-tail eagle. Like, they're pretty strong.
Wedge-tail eagle. They don't muck around. They'd pop a Jack Russell like a Malteser.
Yeah, so a J- Jack Russell, easy prey.
How high did the Jack Russell get dropped from?
About 4 metres off the ground.
Oh,
little Timmy.
Oh, Timmy. Little Timmy, well done, Timmy. Matt's on the line. Matt, well, what kind of dog do you have?
I got a 3-year-old Staffy.
And what's his name?
Dusty, after the mighty Richmond player.
After Dustin Martin.
Well, no bird of prey could ever pick up a young Dusty, I would have thought.
What's
its weight?
Weighs probably just about 22 kilos, but he's pretty short, so he's like a little brick.
He'd look good from above. He'd look good from 3,000 feet. He's a little brick, you say. Yeah. You know what? I think we're going to have to put this to the test.
Righto.
So let's organise it.
What do you... No, see if stop being silly.
Well, I don't know. I think Matt, I think Dusty's right on the cuff. Anyway, thanks for the call, Matt. Time for one more. David, what's the dog, please?
Mate, I have Baxter, a Maltese 2-hour cross, a little bit like Dave's.
Yeah.
Look, he blows out to 2.5 kilos.
He's cooked. He's cooked. He'll be taken overseas. He'll be on a long-haul flight.
Mick Molloy is back Monday live with more new shows here of Molloy on Triple M. It is the Rostered Week Off. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Crown Forklifts as well. You know what? There's nothing quite like a crown for picking it up and putting it down. Tomorrow on the show, Dave Faulkner, frontman of the Hoodoo Gurus, who have been part of this radio network for, 20, 30 years plus. Love Dave. We'll be getting him on and performing a song acoustic for us. And Jim Jefferies is going to tell us how he made the Hoff very angry. The Hoff being David Hasselhoff. That'll be tomorrow's Molloy. You want to stick around for that. You missed any of today's show? In fact, all the shows you can catch up with Molloy on the Listener app as well. Back to drive you home again tomorrow with Molloy right here. Triple M.